Rabbi, one more. I'm sorry, before I forget, Rabbi.
One.
I'm sorry, before I forget, you mentioned yesterday that Koyrach's children are not mentioned.
Koyrach what?
Koyrach's children, the Gnai Koyrach Loimaisi. You mentioned something that they're
not. Book of Gavoya in your
clan.
You mentioned that their names are not mentioned. Who they were?
Bnei Koyrach.
Yes, who were they?
Who, Bnei Koyrach?
Their children's names.
Over here it's not mentioned over here.
Over here it's not mentioned, but in Parshas Vo'ayru it's
right?
Mentioned.
Yeah.
Asir v'akana v'ashpi yasaf.
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Yeah. Then there's two more, I can't... The Eldad, last one's Eldad.
Asir.
Al-Kono.
He's cheating because he's a Balkori.
Here it's not, here it's not.
Him and Reb Tilovitz.
How was Monday night that get today. Together? How was it in your place? How was it Monday night? How was it?
It was very good turnout. Apparently Kim has to hit the rabbi's fancy very well.
How many people showed?
About 50.
Really? Wow! I'm glad I didn't go.
How many?
No.
5-0. 5-0.
Yeah.
How many normally go? Like.
Yeah, about 20.
So you got 50 this time.
You're about five ladies.
So you have twice the amount.
It was an honor of Rabbi Giuseppe, and so he had some family members, and also Rabbi Eisen, somebody that belonged to the Eagle.
Oh, he's great.
It's his wife.
Joseph Eisen. Yeah.
Yeah. So his rabbi's wife.
Oh, yeah. Eisen's
one. Eisner.
Oh, Eisner, not Eisner. Does Rabbi Giuseppe's kashrus organization still exist? He had one years ago.
Torah J.
Yeah, does it still exist? I never met him, but he was very much of a good guy.
He was an American from Texas.
Really?
Who?
Rabbi Giuseppe came from Texas.
No.
Not Italy?
No, he had a job there in Texas. Not originally from Texas.
He had a job in Texas.
Did he wear a cowboy hat? The chassid I went to in Crown Heights. So Morgenstern, the rabbi would remember, Rabbi Morgenstern, his boy that got married in Crown Heights,
yeah.
He wore a white cowboy hat under the chuppah,
the
whole chassid. I'll show you a picture later.
Who, Morgenstern?
No, not Morgenstern, his son.
He wore a cowboy hat?
And then his chevra from yeshiva came in the middle dancing, wearing the same type of hat he did.
What did the collar wear?
No, she wore the regular normal stuff, and she's from the Lubavitch family.
Well, she's the one that wore the spurs on
she's
the, top,
the,
on
the
boots.
But she was.
No, she wears the pants.
Yeah, she till the rabbi started, she was attracted to him from a WhatsApp frum group, and the fact that he has a house in Woodridge, he's a handyman, and she wants to going to move there after a year. She's finishing up some degree in physiology, master's, whatever, and they're going to live in Woodridge. And she was initially attracted by the fact that the guy lives out of
physiology in Woodridge. Right.
Yeah.
There's a very cute country western song about a wife and a husband arguing who's going to wear the pants in the house.
Ah.
So they go back and forth in terms of who's going to wear the pants in the house, and at the end, the woman says, "Okay, you wear the pants in the house, but I'm going to pick out which pants you're going to wear."
Is it?
Dinowitz was saying last week that his wife said you're going to make. He was always pushing in the kitchen. Dinowitz.
Who?
Dinowitz. What's a bright out and cough? What to cook, buy? What to make? He says one day you'll make a good wife.
Now it's the time.
And the rabbi said from the Amid, from the pulpit, he said that the truth is that the woman, rabbi, the woman is really the wife is really the head of the house. But if she's smart, she makes her husband feel that he's
exactly,
the head of the house.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
The same Rabbi Kurzrach tweet. That's it.
I don't
want to
say that, but she's the neck. And if you're the neck, you choke the head. You twist the head.
Oh, okay, well, that's already bad if you twist.
What?
Let's see.
We're waiting.
See, the Moshe was not 100% satisfied with the way Moshe Rabbeinu handled Kurzrach and the whole machlokes. Why? Because it said over here the Rosh Hashanah, the Moshe Rabbeinu said to Koyrach that officially they came and claimed that they should have the sense to be the Nosi of the Shevet. And he chose from the fourth brother, from Abram, Yitzhak, Hebron, and Uziel. There were four brothers, Abram, Hebron, so Moshe was the son of Amram. Aaron was the son of Amram. Right, he said, you got the best. But Yitzhak is the next brother, and I'm Korach ben Yitzhak. So I should be the next one in line to be the Novi. It's like the Havdol, where you have
line of succession.
We find that in the Senate, you have the majority leader.
High
position. He said, I should be the majority. That's in line. And he picked that. He said, it's from the New Ziel, from the last brother, Abram, Yitzhak, Hebron, Uziel. And Yitzhak ben Uziel, Moshe Rabbeinu took as the Nosi, which was Alpi, but the Moshe wanted. Moshe gave him just what it is. But Korach didn't want to accept that. That was on the surface.
So on the surface, he had a legitimate complaint.
That was his complaint on the surface. It wasn't legitimate, because Moshe tied the Moshe said that's what he wanted. Like it says over there. Well, how come you don't use shemen and oil on the Torahs? How come you don't use what you call dvash, so forth? Because many shem. He says, because the Torah Amra. The Torah says you don't do it. More it's a customer. How come you don't use what you call honey? But the honey is so good; it makes such a beautiful smell. Mm-hmm. The Torah says no. You don't want honey. No, wait, this is it. That's what it has to be, that's it. You don't want to accept that. So that would be actually, but deep down, of course, he wanted to uproot Moshe Rabbeinu, uproot the whole system and so forth. Karei the Kulim Kedoshim. So Moshe told him, he says, Rav Lechem Berei Levi. He said, what do you want? Meanwhile, you have the Berei Levi. You're getting all the gifts that people give you mice and so forth, all the gifts that the lady gets and so forth. And you do the avodah, and which means you have a high. It's like you're a senator.
Mm-hmm.
You're not what you call the head of the party and so forth. But you're a senator. So what's going with the show?
You're not a Schumer. You're not a Schumer.
Yeah. All right.
You're what's your name?
But you're not a plain layman.
Right. Right.
He says, "I'm a common layman." But the Baruch Hu punished him for that. I said later on, it says in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu was his father, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Baruch Hu told him, Rav Lach, I'll tell you something about Rav Lach, I'll tell you something about that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, why 515 tzolos, Kiminya v'eschana, and the word v'eschana, 515. But it was his father. Rav Lach, I'll tell you something about that. It says over there, because you said Rav Lechem Bnei Levi, he said you spoke that way to Korach, you got enough, you have a good position already, so forth. So that Rav Lechem, I'm telling you Rav Lechem also. But you have to understand, what is the connection over here, this particular situation over here? What is the Rav Lechem, it's enough for you, you're not going into the soil, what's it got to do with when he tested him, Rav Lechem Bnei Levi? The point over here is that whatever we say that Korach was guilty and was not correct in his demands, he still demanded a thing of Kedusha, which means he didn't demand a thing of destruction. He didn't demand a thing what you call eating chaza or other stuff. He wanted more holiness. He wanted to be a kain godel. He wanted to be anyone. So when a person wants to be sanctified, to an extent, even though he's not entitled to it, and it's not right and so forth, but you don't talk to him in such a way.
But his whole motive was to overthrow the system. This was just
he wanted to come into the system. That was the thing, throw the system where it was. He wanted to come into the system.
Would he have been satisfied? No. Would he have been satisfied if he would have gotten he would have been satisfied?
If he would have gotten the big shot in Kayin and so forth.
But if Moshe Rabbeinu was still Moshe Rabbeinu, if he was still the leader, he wanted to...
Moshe would be the leader. Now we didn't fight with Moshe. Officially didn't fight Moshe to be the leader. That he was willing to accept already. If he would get a position in equality on a level with Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't care. That was his attitude, that sense. He would get a position. It's like this, number one, number two, he's number three. Okay.
He would have settled for that.
For number three, he could settle for. Here he's not number three. He's not. He's the. See what I mean?
Unlike with David and Melech, what's his name with David and Melech?
Everybody wants to be a certain. Everybody wants to be a number. They want to have. It's like they always say that the. When you come to a wedding, by the way, I'm sad to do. You hear by a wedding. You have Sadi Kedushin, you read the Ksuba, you get the brokers off what each guy wants to have something over there. You know what I mean? So, the funny thing is that reading of the Ksuba by a wedding in Europe, you know who read the Ksuba by a wedding? A wacholder. By a wedding in Europe, who read the Ksuba? The Shamans. No big deal. The Shamans read the Ksuba.
Yes.
Over here, they fight like crazy. If you don't get Siddhi Kedushin, then you want to be in the Ksuba. What is it? The answer is not the Ksuba. Not the Ksuba.
It's the honor.
It's number two. The first one is called up, the Siddhi Kedushin. Number two called up to be the Ksuba, number two. Number two.
Like you're Rabban Ben Navad, Rabbi.
It's not right? The Ksuba. The Shabbos read the Ksuba, but he's any number two. That's the whole point over here. That, you know, that's what children cover children. This, what you call honor, that you want, when you want succession, you want a high position, and so forth.
Like you rub him. Ben Navad, he wasn't happy unless he was first, even if David Melch was first, he's not happy.
Right.
What if Mishigas? What if Tipshin?
No, you're talking about Elisha ben Avuya, Acher.
No. Yerevan ben Navat. If you do Chuba,
Gan Eden.
Walk with me and Dovid Melech.
Yeah.
He wants to know who's going to walk first.
Who's
going to walk
first?
He's like, no, I don't want it. What a Tipshin. What a stupidity. What a ridiculous.
Amazing.
My mamish.
So you see how the person, sometimes the person wants that position and so forth. The fights for that, you know these things. It's lovish.
Come on.
That's what you call that a person is in the hands of his.
It's a horror.
Vainglorious. And that's conceited. But still, my Shabbatah should not have spoken to him in such a way. You have an example of that. I have a riot to that. To this particular thing, the riot. There's an interesting thing when it's said by Rochel. It's a very, very powerful medrash over there. I once spoke on that medrash in Bereishis. The medrash says, Rachel said to Yaakov, she couldn't take it anymore. She said, Hovali Bonim, V'yamayim Mesa Anoichi. She couldn't, so what did he answer her? Asachas Anakim Anoichi. What am I, Bani Shalom? I give children, what kind of medrash over there? Like he got angry. I give you, brother. You're born in, what kind of thing is this over here? If you can't have, you can't have. What do you want from me? The Medrash says over there. Loshen the Medrash. Mechikocha, medabrim lemeika. Is that the way you speak to a person that's fatsoret?
In pain. In pain.
Pain and anger. And the suffering, and that's how he speaks to such a person. He says, "Muftechadi," the voice of said over there, "Chayadi," and ultimately, you and your children are going to bow to our children because of that. The Medrash says like that. Yaakov was held accountable. Not for, he was right.
But the way he said it. Yeah.
That's not how you talk. How you talk to such a person. There's a lot of clashes over there. I have a whole drusha there. I mean, what was the punishment for Yaakov? To bow to Yosef? I can't. He loved Yosef. He wanted Yosef. There was nothing over there. So what was the whole punishment over here? That you and the children are going to bow to her. To her children. To her child. But that's a whole discussion on that. But the main point I want to bring out that we see from there that when a person's in pain, suffering, sorrow, and despondent and so forth, you have to how you talk to the person. Because the way you talk the wrong way, so you're guilty of that particular aspect. That's right. Even though you're right. I'm right. But like I said, like they'll say in Jewish, do a vertel.
Right, right.
It's a famous expression.
Very famous in Yiddish.
Hungarian too?
Yes. The person that tells the truth gets the hangman's noose.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Gets the hangman's
noose.
They hang him up
for telling the truth.
When you hang somebody, it's a noose. You tie the knot. It's a noose.
Hangman's noose.
The 23 Commandments. That's the whole thing with it. I mean, so Salanta once said, he said, not everything that you think should say. Not everything that you say could you write.
Could you publish, yes.
That's the same. That was Moshe Rabbeinu here, Rav. He said, Rav Lechem, that's not the way you speak to the person. He wants to double Shabbat Kedusha. He's wrong. And not a time, so he's going to be punished and so forth. But you should have said it a different way. A different way, wait till tomorrow, we'll see what we can do. It's not the time now, etc. But you don't say, Rabbi Chaim, it's enough for you. But it's enough, in that sense.
No, I disagree.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, because Koirach should have known better. Koirach should have known better. That if this is what the Rabbanim Lashon Olam said, this is what goes. Moshe Rabbeinu.
So Rachel should have known better too?
Yaakov should have known better.
I mean, Yaakov should have known better.
Yeah, he should have. He should have, but he didn't. Yes.
So
I'm saying that Moshe had the right to talk to him.
Why?
Like that.
Yeah, but
because he was rebelling against the Rabbanim Shalom.
Yaakov had the right to talk like that to Rachel too.
No, but Yaakov
should have known that he can't give children.
Yeah, but Yaakov
was suffering. Rachel was suffering too.
He was suffering too.
No, it's not that kind of suffering. It's not that kind of suffering.
You could Yaakov have schutz on Yaakov because he said endless to Yaakov, and it just hit him so like. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. You got to go to him. It just hit him.
You happen to be right, but the main thrust over here is not on that point. The thrust over here is on the point that Koyrach wanted something constructive. He wanted sanctity. He wanted holiness. Even in his distorted way, in his crazy manner, it is Meshigas and Machlekes and so forth. But he wanted Kedusha. When a person seeks for holiness, you don't talk to him like that. That's the thrust of the point over here. I'm what he wanted.
Yeah, but
You have to see that's a very thin concept over here.
Yeah, but he also said that he wanted to destroy the system. He wanted to overthrow the system.
Well, in the way it was made up, but now he wanted to change. Wanted to change the whole thing. That's true. But still, he wanted holiness. He wanted holiness. That's the major point over here. I once heard that particularly from what was his name from the Gurus and Rabbonim, Simcha Elberg. Rabbi Simcha Elberg, he also spoke on that topic, and he said that point. I remember I heard it from him too. He said that point. I was there. I don't know what it was, a meeting of Wizard of Honor, I don't remember what it was. And he also brought out that point. And when a person wants sanctity, wants Kedusha, you got to talk to him a little differently. But even though he's dead wrong and so forth. That's the connection. But here's the interesting thing you find over here, Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is a very good one for the sons of Rav, from the Divrei Chayim. Well, it said of Moshe Rabbeinu, and what was the punishment talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "In Bria Yivra Elokim, if the worst will make a creation over here to destroy Korach and so forth, then Le Hashem Shlechon. But in Moshe Rabbeinu, in Moshe Rabbeinu, but if they'll die, what you call the normal death is, so the Moshe Rabbeinu, so I'm right. Right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said over here. First of all, there's a kasha over here. What does it mean? Ravachol, that is a start of kasha. What's that? The Bria Yivra Elokim.
Yeah.
You look at Pirkei Avos, the fifth parak. It says one of the 10 things that was created with Ben Hashmoshes Friday was the Pioris.
Right.
Was one of the Bria Yivra Elokim was created already.
What was?
And Eichol the Shachas Hashemesh.
To swallow the family. Of
okay.
How do you
the family of Korach.
Oh, how do you answer that?
He's not talking about the Bria, he's talking about that something from creation that's outside the Teva is going to come.
He says in Bria Yivra Elokim.
didn't know that. The party cut the Shem Shpeyim.
I found that. Moshe Ben Akiva called a Torah Kula. I found the Kashi in the Rishonim.
Okay, good too.
Balei HaToisus is the Kashi.
Oh, okay.
Not the Balei HaToisus in Chumash.
Yeah, whatever, the big
instead
one.
Instead of going Moshe Zakenim, say for Balei HaToisus.
Yeah, what the
I have the safe in the house. So I took a look and yes, the Kashi. Yes, the Kashi. I want to say a Pshat. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu met the Bria Yivrei Kim. He said he knew that there was a Pioritz, but he didn't know that they're going to be punished to the sent to be swallowed up alive. He thought they'll be killed on the spot. They'll die, and then they'll be swallowed up in the ground, be buried under the ground. The Pioritz was there to swallow them up after death, but that they should mamish go down alive. That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't realize. In Bria Yivrei Kim. It'll be such a difference that labor to get hate that they're going to go under, and that's it. That was the question. That's what he says. That's what he's showing with this shot over there. But what I want to bring out over here is an interesting thing. Bother me, Taka, it says, if we are living with a Kim, okay, you might call a notion in Lusa Naila, or the same as the Hori. So I'll tell you. So he says like this. If they're guilty, they're going to have a Nisa Mishum, right? But it says over here that in Mois Kadushim B'Saneila, it's Lo Hashem Shtachoni. So the Baruch Hu didn't send them, right? Which means if they don't die an abnormal death, then it talks to why they have to die. I say, what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying over here? If it's a Bria Yivrei Kim, so later they're guilty, right? But in Kabbalah's Kaddoshim Yisraelah, if they die a normal death,
you were right.
Then they were right. But they don't know what they're going to die for. Or they have to be dead on the spot. Why? The Dever Chaim says, what's that advice with a chosu? And the chosu came in and said he wanted to curse the other chosu. And the Rechaim should curse the other chosu. Because he had business of that and that. He said, Arush is a mitzvah to Bahad Hagen. He said, it's a mitzvah to kill him. So he said, it's a mitzvah to Hagen, a mitzvah Hagen Haid. Where do you see that mitzvah? He said, so first of all, the Rechaim said, I have an eye to the Torah that it's not a mitzvah to kill him. The Jew, even if he didn't do such a one for Rai from the Torah, where's Rai? She said, Rai is a partial boy. It says that one of the plagues was Choshech, darkness. So the Rashi said, why did the Baruch Hu send the darkness over there? Was one of the plagues. So one of the reasons is because at that particular time, those that didn't want to go out of the Mitzrayim,
died out.
So they shouldn't, they died out in the dark, and they died out. So, they died out. So yes, Akashi, he says, that's the case, he says, they died. He says, later it says, by the Kol Pesach, and the Marshal had to make a miracle, and it says that they had the special two mitzvahs, that the Mila and the Kol Pesach, why? That area, the area. You have no mitzvahs whatsoever. They had no mitzvahs whatsoever. The Moshe, they had to give them the Kol Pesach. He gave them the Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila. The Moshe says, when you had no mitzvahs, he said. They had the mitzvah from the Choshech that these guys died and so forth, he said. He says, Arai, he says, Asim, Rashi, this can grow the mitzvah. I can never can eat this mitzvah, he said. He said, it would have been such a big mitzvah that they killed the Jews at the time when the Mice of Choshech, then the Mice wouldn't have had to give mitzvahs in order to come to Kol Pesach. He said, they would have had a mitzvah already. Assuming that that's such a big mitzvah to kill a Jew. Which we brought at that point. But he said, here he says,